Okay, fine. So Malvish and Roman. So just if you want to summarize what we saw last week, was that the seeming consensus, okay, the standard view, I think, is that Malvish Arumim is not like the other ones in the sense that it's limited to a particular pasuk where the phrase comes up, but rather it is a thematic bracha, which is taken from the story of Bereshit, which is why I wanted to sort of move in a more thematic direction from Malvish Arumim. And note, as we saw in the Rav a few weeks ago, that the Rav thought that the reason that we praise God in these ways, at least part of it, is because every time we describe God as doing something, it implies an obligation to us, right? It implies an obligation of a mitati day. And we're not just praising God, but we're praising God and also, right, teaching ourselves about what it is we're supposed to do. And within that context, what I wanted to sharpen last week was this idea that within the mitzvah of a mitati day, there is a tension. That in some versions of it, it focuses on actions like this one, right? Like Malbish Arumim and Machnasat Orchem and whatever the case may be. Elsewhere, it focuses on Midot. And the Rambam seems to mix and match between them, right? Switching, choosing the Midrashi Halacha over the Gemara in terms of the source Pasuk, right? Where Valachta Vidrachav of Midot for the Gemara is from Ezekiel Ivan Vehu, the Midrash takes it from Vahalachta Bidrachav. The Gemara says, Mahu Rachum, Afatahei Rachum, right? He is merciful. The Rambam goes on the side of Mahu Nikra, right? God is called merciful. We noted that the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvot combines the Midot and action thing, even though in Mishneh Torah he divides them, but we suggest, at least in the context of the Perish Mishnayah, the reason is because God doesn't really have, in essence, at least that we can access, right, classic Rambam theology, the extent to which God is merciful is because he expresses it. But it's not just about actions, because if it was just about actions, then you would just say God is he who buries the dead or whatever. But the fact that we also call him Rachem shows that it's not enough for us that you do an action, but it has to be a reflection of your essence, which for God, whatever, we don't know what that means, but for us, we do know what that means, which is, it's not just enough to be kind, right, but lazy, right, and not express it. It's not just enough to be kind in action, right? The ideal is to be someone who is rachum and allow that to express itself in ways that are rachum. And that's where I suggest how you understand the Rambam, which again is relevant in this context for the definition of what it is we're commemorating here. I will just point out, this is not linked to Malbish Arumim specifically, but once we're talking about this, I think it's just worth noting the Rav has a fascinating argument that I gave you here in Halachic Man, that the Rav is obsessed with this idea, but the Rav goes farther. The Rav, right, we saw the Rav already in Berachot HaShachar. But the Rav also, in general, thinks this is true of every pasuk in the Torah, basically. That every pasuk of the Torah has some sort of, I'm giving share. This is like, has some,
wait like 20 minutes.
Has a halachic implication. But for the Rav, often the halachic implication is v'halach v'drachav. And the one that to me is the most mechudash is Parshat Bereshit. The Rav argues that Parshat Bereshit, what does it teach us about God? That God, right, he writes, if the Torah spoke at length about the creation of the world and related to us the story of the making of heaven and earth and all their host, it did so not in order to reveal cosmogonic secrets and metaphysical mysteries, but rather in order to teach practical halakha. If the Torah then chose to relate to man the tales of creation, we may clearly derive one law from this matter of procedure, that man is obliged to engage in creation and the renewal of the cosmos. When man, the crowning glory of the cosmos, approaches the world, he finds his task at hand, the task of creation. Man, the creature, is commanded to become a partner with the Creator in the renewal of the cosmos, complete and ultimate creation. This is the deepest desire of the Jewish people, right? So the Rav has this chiddush that when you are creative, which for the Rav includes lamdos, right? It's actually a kiyum of halach debidrachav, because the first thing we find about God is that he's a creator. And therefore, if you're supposed to mimic everything we know about God, then one of the things you're supposed to mimic is being creative. Again, that's not specific on the Malbish Arumim, but once we're talking about it, it's worth noting, because it is, I think, a fascinating theological move. It's a fascinating theological move. Okay. A few other comments, though. To the extent that Malbish HaRumim is about whatever it is it about God giving us clothes? So everything we've seen until now assumes that it is, right? I mean, to the extent that we've talked about, even if it's also a Matatio day, it seems to me that Malbish HaRumim is actually about being clothed. But several of Mefarshim and Rav Kook takes it this way as well, argues that it's more than that. What else might it be? Right? If it's not just thanking God that he gives us clothes, and not even just thanking God for being the type of God who gives clothes, right? Can you think of a deeper level, even if you're basing yourself in the same pasuk? So Rav Kook argues, and many people argue some version of this, when we say Malbish HaRumim, you're not just thanking God for the clothes. You're thanking God for the human sense of dignity, mm-hmm. which drives us to dress ourselves. Right? Now, that's a chiddush for a few reasons. First of all, it's a chiddush because that's not the word the words mean.
Right.
But there's another thing. To me, the reason that's a huge chiddush is because, think about the original pasuk. Why did God give us clothes? Because we sinned. Right, because the beginning of the story is man and woman were naked, right? But v'lo yidvashashu, they weren't embarrassed. But then we sinned, and we were given a sense of shame, and then God was kind enough to give us clothes so that we would not experience that shame. So the simple pshat, you just read Chumash, you would say that having the sense of shame that requires having clothes is actually... It's a lack, right? Right, we created the guilt because now we're less perfected human beings. If we were perfect, right, and even our sexuality was elevated, right, so then the human body would not be a source of disgrace such that we would be embarrassed if we don't have clothes on, right? So to say that we're thanking God for a sense of dignity, which comes from a fallen state of man, is actually quite a chiddush, right? So I don't think it's obvious. Nevertheless, some take it this way. If you look at Rav Kook, he says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Malbish HaRumim, HaEirom, right, nakedness, whom Yersham Banu Reshim Shel Ganai VeEderek Kavod. It gives us a little bit of disgrace and lack of honor. HaMinaged LeTiferet HaAdam, which denies the glory of man. Hinenu Mechrachim LeHitgonen Negdo bilfusheno, and we have to protect ourselves from the lack of dignity with clothes. V'hachreya hamusari hazeh, this moral need, asher natab bikurbenu yotzer ha'adam, which God gave us, God implanted in us, acharei shekvar nikba hamusag, sharem udavar shulal edakavod. Right, so he's, Rav Kook's aware of this problem, so he pulls a very, if you know, this is a very nuanced piece, right? He says, once we became aware of the fact that being naked was not dignified, he still might not have given us the quality of the desire to hide our lack of dignity, right? Meaning there's really, right? You see what he's doing? He's saying, it could have been that we would feel that being naked is low and say, okay, now we're animals. God didn't do that. Even though feeling that nakedness is contrary to the human dignity is a product of sin, it could have been that what was the result of the sin? God says you're animals now. And just like, right, you're sexual creatures and, right, your sexuality is on display, right, and whatever. But God did it, right? He let us feel that it's embarrassing, but also made us feel like we... Exactly, right? Meaning it's embarrassing, but we feel the need to rise above that, right? Exactly, right? So it is a fallen state, but the fact that human beings have a desire, have an innate desire to rise above the fallen state and protect our dignity is something that's worth thanking God for, right? It's a very nuanced read, I think, of the story. And he says, "Zeh hachreach b'atzmo," this need, matar elokimhu, it's a gift of God. Hameir al Ziv HaNeshama, because it is what attests to the fact that we have a soul. Ha'atzula Mizar Kavod Shamala, which comes from God. Ha'chayab Bikurbeinu V'chalfefet Aleinu, which lives in us. V'hinei Tochen HaBracha Azot Kafulhu, and therefore this bracha is double. Hoda'a Al-Chusha Nafshi Ha'adinu Shalanu, we're thanking God for that sensitivity in our soul. Shenatashem Bikarbeinu, Shehinenu Al Yado Mitlapshin Mavushi Chavod, and the practical ability to protect our dignity by actually having clothes. By that dual meaning, the spiritual inclination, and the practical opportunity to clothe ourselves, God's kindness is expressed through that. Now he doesn't explicitly connect it to the Breshit story, but I'm sure that's what he's doing, right? Meaning he's struggling with the fact that how can he say that it's a bracha, thank God you gave us dignity, if it wasn't undignified before the sin, right? Because that implies that the need to feel covered is a lack, right? And Sir Rav Kook, I think, has this very interesting way of trying to thread the needle, right? We're saying, yes and no, right? Meaning God post the sin. Again, I'm reading this in to Rav Kook, but I think that is clearly what he's getting at, is that, yes, the fact that post sin we need clothes is a fall. But the fact that we care to rectify it, right, is that still makes us spiritual beings, right? We're not purely spiritual beings, and therefore we feel undignified when our sexuality, right, is on display. But we also feel the need to cover ourselves up because we're still dignified. We didn't totally lose that spiritual sense. And therefore he says the bracha is about both. It's about the fact that God gives us that humanity, right, that sense that's unique to being human beings, and he gives us the opportunity to actually have clothing. Which I thought is a very interesting, right? I think it's a fascinating read of the bracha. Okay, I gave you a few other pshatim here from Talalei Orot. So if you look, the shalah, before the shalah, look at the second one, right? The Yalkut Katan. The Yalkut Katan has a similar pshat to Rav Kook. So might as well look at that first, right? He says, "Al ha'adam lahodot laHashem asher natabo regesh tivi shel busha utzniut lechasod atzmo bilivush." We should thank God for having the sense of modesty and embarrassment. Shezeh moder adam baleichaim, because that's what makes you higher than animals. Now again, I think Rav Kook's is more nuanced, right? Because this just, right, seems to miss the fact that the fact that we feel that way is a sign of the fall, right? Rav Kook's nuanced approach to him, for me at least, solves the problem, right? Because it doesn't deny the fact that in the ideal world, maybe it wouldn't be embarrassing. But it's the fact that we did fall, but not to the point where we no longer have that requirement of dignity. That seems to me a little bit lost here. Okay, then he has a second shot, which he quotes the Arta Achayim, Kishavara Kadosh Baruch Hu Adam Lo Arom Bro'o. Elit Yatsev Kemo Levush Bishvir V'shalya L'fichach Levavo Yavin She'en Shivchol Yot Arum. Now, I think the way he solves it is that he thinks that no one was ever really naked. Right? What do you mean? He says, because even when human... This is a fascinating Chiddush. I don't know what it means, really. He says that human beings, when they are born, when they're conceived, are covered. Right, like the body is naked, but they are still covered, right? And the shvira and shalya, right? And the placenta, the sac, and whatever. Va'af lo yigalem mekamor mechusin shivagofom and sherechli tol yadav sham. Right. So he said, like the fact that even an infant is like covered in the womb shows you that being naked is a lack of dignity. That to me is a very huge chiddush. But he seems to think, right, that at some level, right, human beings were never fully okay with being naked. But again, that doesn't seem to work with the biblical story, which is why I think Rav Kook's more nuanced approach, accomplishes what his does not. Now, the last sort of direction, I would say, is that there are several Mefarshim who take more spiritualized views of clothes. Right? I mean, so far we're thanking God for giving us clothes, we're thanking God for giving us dignity, we're thanking God in Rav Kook's for giving us the desire to rectify the lack of dignity, right? But there are these purely spiritualized ones. If you look, for example, in the Shalah writes, in Yanosh, in the Shama, be'ira p'tirai loveshet levushay mechlol ha-mitzvot shenat ezek behem ba'olam hazeh. It's talking about when you die, your mitzvot are your clothing, right? The soul is the body, and the clothing, and the mitzvot are the clothes, right? So there are these spiritualized ideas. Amnam v'tzitame ha-guf, be'irai shana, ein la levush klal, and therefore when you're sleeping, right, it's unclothed. Mashal abat nekevash yishn lenunyo malbush v'tachshid harbe v'veravia shirvicha v'masei adav v'im calls zeh calls mashal narsav and he said einalo veshet klal kenyan neshama shakol shamur lad seitam me'aguf mikol v'chova kadosh baruch hu malbisha v'chol yom beguf hazeh l'chein tzarich levarech le'yosav v'omer malbish arumim. Right, so the shalas says, listen, when you die, you take your mitzvah with you, but when you go to sleep, you don't. Right, you like sort of die, but your mitzvot, I don't know what this means exactly, stay inhered in your body, right? He said it's like a woman who has a dowry waiting for her when she gets married. While she's engaged, it's waiting for her, right? So she doesn't yet wear the beautiful clothes. When she's married, she will. So he says when you die and really go up to heaven, your mitzvot will be on you. But when you go to sleep, you partially die, but you die naked because your mitzvot like cling to your body. And therefore, when your soul is put back in your body, you are being reclothed with your embodied mitzvot. Okay. 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 What? Do I say Moda? I do. Oh, yeah. Is it a halacha? No. Is it a nice tefillah? Yes. We talked about it before davening for a few days. It's a beautiful little tefillah. I mean, it's, what? Yes, which the Gemara says. I mean, the Gemara says that that sleeping is a 60th of death, right? What that means, I don't know. But even if it's metaphorical, it's still beautiful. Do I always remember to say Modani? Probably not, right? I like roll out of bed. Do I try? Yes, I think it's a beautiful tefillah to start the day, you know? No, it's not. I didn't say it was cumulative. It's a 60th of death. And then you wake up and get it back. Right, exactly. Yes, that would be death. Physically, we all know this is true, right? If you take enough sedatives, right, you take a little bit, it'll give you a nice sleep. You take a bottle of sleeping pills, right, and you will die, right? The line between sleeping and death is, in fact, you know, not, anyways. I gave you two others here in the Olat Tamid of the Rash Humaner. He quotes the Shar Chavonar of the Arizal. Shal yidei masha adam chote mafshitin me'alav levush hakedusha. This is another spiritualized view. It's not about mitzvot, it's the opposite. When you sin, God takes off your spiritual clothes of holiness, umalbishim l'nishmato levush haklipa, and puts dirty spiritualized clothes of the klipot on you, begadim soim, v'akol lufi erech achet, based on the sin, ki im achet hu kal, nuchash koch lavush al bashar al nishmato, aval eina mistalik me'lav legamrei, v'achet hu chamor mistalik lavush al legamrei. If it's a light sin, so it's only partial. If it's a really bad sin, worse. And he says, u'keneged shteh abachinot elu nitgu birchat malvish arumim. This idea is captured in Malbish Arumim and Anotin Leyav Koach. Hine bechol laila kasher adam mafkir et nishmato. Baboker himit chadesh. Every night you give your soul to God, and then in the morning it is rejuvenated. Umishin it stalek levushol legamre. And let's say you had sinned egregiously the previous day, so God had to strip you of your holiness. He gives you a new chance in the morning and gives you a clean slate and therefore reclothes you with spiritual holiness. Al kach anu mevarchem malbish arumim. Umei sheish levush el shenechlash. And if you only weakened your, right, you only sinned a little bit, so your spiritual clothing was diminished but not eliminated, so the bracha is hanotin layef koach, that you give us strength. Like I said, I don't understand what this means, but I did have to at least spend 5 minutes sharing with you all these spiritualized views. Again, I do understand the Rav Kook view, right? I think it's a very nice idea. These spiritualized views confuse me, but it's quite a well-respected view. So that's it, right? That's what I wanted to say on Malvi Sharuman. I like I said, a mini share, but we were just sort of left at the point where there were a few central ideas I really wanted to share. And what? I thought it was very important to do Rav Kook because I think Rav Kook really adds a lot. I think that's very, very important. Right, and then there was this, which I wanted to let you know. Again, I thought I was going to be able to do it at the end of last week's year, but then we got into a very healthy discussion about the parameters of a Matat Yudei. But so I had too much left from this year to move on to the next bracha, right? But not enough to eliminate it. So mini shir today, and next week, we're going to do. So next time, just tell you what we're going to do. We're going to use Zokev Kefufim as the opportunity. Matir Surim Zokev Kefufim of the question of how are they connected and does the order matter? Right? Because that's a big halachic discussion because since they're related, right? And since you seem to do one before the other, does one include the other and does it have to be said in a particular order? Right? Because that halachic discussion will point to the theme. So that's what we're going to do next time.